Welcome back, listeners. You are now listening to On the Radar's business segment, and I'll be taking you through our business news until the hour of 2:30. And now heading over to our first news, business news item, Kunene to prioritize on construction of water infrastructures and houses. My colleague Kambaiga brings us this report.
Kunene Regional Council has pledged to mitigate the housing backlog and fast-track the process of water supply, which in turn will include the water treatment plant, drilling and rehabilitation of boreholes in rural areas during the 2022 and the 2023 financial year. The Regional Council received a budget of more than 74.7 million from the government for its operations for the financial year under review, of which 6.7 million have been diverted to developmental projects, which will include the construction of low-cost houses at Okangwati and Franceforndale, flush toilets with storage and off-site wastewater treatment at Franceforndale and Sesfondale in order to get rid of the bucket toilet system. The Regional Council Director of Planning and Development Services, Emmanuel Nafele, said the council have begun with phase one of the Okangwati Settlement Area office construction and will also prioritize the construction of infrastructural services in Sesfondale, which is part of the eradication of the bucket toilet, which forms part of the Harambee Prosperity Plan.
We have the construction of Okangwati Settlement Area office, phase one. I'm saying phase one because we cannot get enough funds to construct the whole office at once. This time around, we want to fence off the area, construct the guardhouse, and initiate the first part of the office building block. Secondly, we're also prioritizing the construction of infrastructural services at Franceforndale, which form part of the eradication of the bucket system, which is part of the target in the Harambee Prosperity Plan 2. We do not have much budget about that, but what we have much to construct the toilets, and this project for this funds allocated to be completed. The project handover was done 2 weeks ago.
Nafele, during an exclusive interview with this station, also reiterated the council ambitions of addressing the 30 years of Okangwati water woes, noting that 6 boreholes were already drilled with the construction of the pipeline to commence soon. According to Nafele, the third phase of this project is estimated to cost more than 27.6 million Namibian dollars.
The third priority is the construction of services at Okangwati. This is a provision of potable water. I guess you heard that some way back we drilled 6 boreholes at a village called Hamaremba, where we have aquifer. So now we are constructing the pipeline from Hamaremba to Okangwati, which is about 14 kilometers away. Our phase 1 and phase 2, we constructed, we covered 6.5 kilometers. Now we have about 8 kilos to cover. I'm proud to say that we solicited funds from the Office of the Prime Minister. They gave us 27.6 million to see the completion of this project. The project is given for implementation to the Minister of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform. Procurement of the contractor has been completed, and the contractor has been awarded. A site handover was given last month. So we expect to see this project completed in about a year's time. Parallel to that, we also want planning to install 2 boreholes at Hamaremba for supplying the water to the community of Hamaremba and supplying watering their livestock and community garden. This is an agreement for the community to give us water to Okangwati.
The Director of Planning further stated that the settlement of Sesfondane will also see the completion of 5 boreholes at the end of the year. He said 37 low-cost houses will be constructed at Okangwati and Franceforndale with the facilitation of the Sheikh Dwellers Federation of Namibia.
The construction of infrastructure services at Sesfondane. We also drilled some boreholes there. And now we need to install this borehole so that we can supply water to the settlement area. So this project is also ongoing. And then the fifth priority, we are also facilitating or committing the construction of 37 low-cost houses under the decentralized Build Together program. And this is 24 houses at Okangwati and 14 houses at Transfontein. I guess you know the challenge we had with this program is that the cost of building the houses is quite very high by hiring the private contractors. We have been battling to identify the contractors to do this for us. But in the end, we negotiated with Shark Dwellers Federation of Namibia to facilitate this process, who actually tend to give us low-cost houses where our beneficiaries loan could qualify. So as we talk, we have awarded the contract to Shark Dwellers Federation of Namibia to supervise the construction of these 37 houses. At Okangwati, the completion of the houses is expected by the end of this month. So we want to hand over the houses to the owner.
Amongst other capital projects, Nafele also mentioned that several areas in the region will benefit from the ongoing electrification project under the Ministry of Mines and Energy and Nampower.
We are also talking about electrification of four rural villages, that is Etanga, Oshitoko, Oshikoyo, and Serinkop. This is done by the other three, by Minister of Mines and Energy, and Serinkop by and Oshikoyo by Nampower. And then lastly, we are talking about the serving of new extension at Angwati and Transfontein.
According to Nafele, the region also saw a cut of more than 50% from its last financial year development budget, which stood at 16 million compared to 6.9 million for the financial year under review. He also blamed the budget cut on economic recession, COVID-19, the Russia and the Ukrainian war, and the recurrent drought for the budget cut.
There was a reduction in the budget. As we are talking about last year, we had a budget of excess to 16 million. This year we are talking about just below 7 million. So there was about 58% reduction in the budget. There have been a number of issues that have been cited by the central government that they couldn't allocate funds because even the central government doesn't have enough resources. Of course, they cited the COVID-19, they cited the crisis, war of Ukraine, the drought, and other things.
Moreover, the council director of planning said that the council, in conjunction with the government, has sought to assist farmers who lost their livestock and vegetation due to the drought. In order to subsidize farming activities, the council, together with the government, have provided farmers with seeds for horticulture production. Other interventions include the World Food Program and the Environmental Investment Fund, who assist with gardening and restocking of livestock.
In addition, what the regional council is allocated. The regional council, you know, is a sub-national government. We coordinate developmental activities in the region. The government allocates funds through other line ministries, and mostly to the question of affected farmers by drought. The government has allocated funds through the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, specifically to subsidize the farming activities. We have a program called seed subsidy, where farmers are subsidized to buy seeds when they are growing. We have a program called plowing subsidies, where farmers are subsidized to do the plowing. We have a program called horticultural production subsidies, where farmers are subsidized to buy inputs for horticultural production, and we have a poultry subsidy. So these are some of the subsidies the government is channeling. In addition to this, then we have also other interventions. For example, we have WFP coming coming in to support the farmers as well. We have environmental investment funds, which is also helping with gardening, and they have also, they're also helping with the restocking of small stocks.
There are no surprises when it comes to the causes of slow running of capital projects, and Kunene region is no exemption. The region is still crawling in terms of on-road safety, electrification of rural areas, and the construction of adequate hostel for state schools. This, according to Nafele, is because of delays in budget approval and the public procurement process, including COVID-19 and the recurrent drought.
It's a multiple factor that causes this. One is a late budgetary approval. You see, when you look at the financial year, you expect to implement your project between April and March of the following year. But like I said, this year we saw our budget being approved late July. That's the implication on the budget execution. Yeah. Then we have also the issue of the Public Procurement Act. It's just causing a lengthy process of procuring. One could be the understanding by us, the implementers. Two, it could be that places like Kunene, you tender out, you advertise these attacks, and in the end, you realize that you may not end up without a responsive bidder, meaning that you have to restart the process again. This causes a delay in the tender in hiring the bid. Yeah, the other two, probably we can still, even though COVID-19 has calmed down, its effect is still with us. We can still feel that effect. And then lastly, it's the issue of drought. I think it's just taking up too much attention.
And that is what we are getting from my colleague Kambaikare. It's exactly 21 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock.
The construction of a multi-million dollar Kunene Vocational Training Center, BTC at Korihas.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, listeners. Now, multi-million dollar Kunene VTC nearing completion. My colleague Kambaika still brings us this report.
The construction of a multi-million dollar Kunene Vocational Training Center, BTC at Korihas, which commenced 4 years ago, is nearing completion. Kunene VTC is part of the Namibia Training Authority's devotion to providing vocational training centers to all 14 regions as part of its technical and vocational education and training, transformation and expansion blueprint. The VTC, which is constructed to the tune of 700 million Namibian dollars, will be the first higher learning institution in the region and will in turn enable potential artisans from the region to avoid traveling long distances to other regions in search of vocational skills. Korihas Constituency Councillor Sebastian Gobbs said the construction work on the center is nearing completion, with more than 90% of the work already accomplished. Gobbs, during an on-site interview, affirmed that the center will be completed by next year.
National Premier, the one which is the big one, which is currently up and running, is the BTC, Vocational Training Center, which is now 80 to 95% completed. So within next year, there will be actually some intake starting. So that is the biggest project, national project, under NTA that is running within Korihas Constituency, in Korihas Town. So it's not only for Horihas town, it's for the whole region. So meaning that if they start next year, they will maybe come up with the improvement numbers, how many will they take for the first phase, etc., etc. Because the project is in phases. You know, phase one is now, which I'm referring to, is nearly completed. So when they open the phase one, then they will go over to phase two, and then will if the other fields are also coming to be accommodated in. Because I'm of the opinion they will just start with certain fields for training, and then if they are now going over to the second phase, then they will. That is the biggest project that is in Horihas town.
Cops also said that the institution is long overdue. I think that not all learners share the same academic level in terms of theoretical exercises, and this require technical training as per their various preferences.
As we, as parents also, our children, they are at an academic level of understanding things if they are in the school teachers. Some of them are not maybe there to sit in a formal class. Some of them need this technical training. So most of the people that is now dropouts, etc., you name them, and are on the streets. So if the enrollment requirements are open up, then I am hopeful that most of these learners of school dropouts will be taken up in the technical fields that is offered at that professional training center. And then I am also hopeful that it will contribute to educating some people that will do things with their hands. They will be trained there at that center, so that we can also start to not that you sometimes you see if there is a mine, then they are talking about skilled personnel and unskilled personnel.
Additionally, Gov stated that he is of the opinion that the vocational training center will bring an end to the importation of unskilled and semi-skilled laborers by employers, as these laborers will be sourced from the region. Equally, the council also noted that the institution will be able to address the education and employment predicaments by producing scores of graduates from different starting modes in technical training.
So if we have got some trainees that has been trained at this center, then we have got in the region people that has been trained. Then it's no need for a mining company to bring in people from the other area, and they can just source it from the region. So that is my really thinking and hope that we've got a number of these people that are eager to come to enroll at the center, so that we can have qualified people. There are still things which will come to the region. We need some builders, some carpenters, plumbers, electricians, you name them. There are upcoming mines that needs also fitter, tenors, those things. So this center will also still expand to those areas of training, and then we have got people, our own people within our region. And it's only not, as I understand, it's not only region-based. The other regions, people will also come to apply to be trained at this center. So, but I am inviting our region people, young people, to start now, to upgrading their CVs, their papers, so that whenever the advert is out, then they are now full in the line to apply for skills upgrade.
The councillor also emphasized the establishment of a database that will keep track of all graduates from the region for equal employment opportunities, but without neglecting outsiders.
Then after their training, they have to now set up a database so that we know who are in the region that has been trained in each field. So that whenever there is some upcoming mines or some bigger projects, then we tell them right away that we have got also people. Here is the list. Just source people from the list from the region. So we are also not denying people from the other region, but we I am hopeful that priority be given to the region people. But all in all, we really encourage the region people to be first in the line. And then from there, if there is any company coming in, a bigger company, then they will get out. Rather than bringing in people from the other areas, then and then unemployment rate will increase. Then you are not giving chance to the local person that is also trained at your level or in your area. So that is my take.
The Kunene Vocational Training Center is constructed by the Adaptive Building Land Construction CC, which won the tender in 2020 after beating other 29 companies to the bid. After its completion, Kunene Vocational Training Center will be the 8th vocational training center in the country and the 18th center under the NTA.
And that actually brings us to the end of today's business segment. See you guys next time. Same place right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. I am going to hand over to my colleague Eba, who will be taking you through the Oshiwambo News. Stay tuned.